halachic issues surrounding Purim and Zachor and Megillas Esther. The answer is, I will not. I'm a very firm believer that people should get practical psak from their shul rav, and that's I'm sticking with that story because I genuinely believe it. So feel free to consult with Rabbi Karofkin. The basic issues are known. The basic issues are that, yes, doing any mitzvah by computer is not quite the same thing as hearing it in person. So it is very clear that one who has the opportunity to hear Zachor or Megillah in person should do that as opposed to Zoom. But if a person can't be there in person, their person is vulnerable, then you look at what your choices are and you choose the best among a bad set of choices. So for personal guidance, practical cases, again, I refer to your shul rav. Okay, but having discussed, that which I can't discuss, let's discuss that which we can discuss. We are in Ksuvos. We are on Vav Amud Beis, and we are about 8 lines down. Masiv Rav Yosef is what we are up to.
Do you have a sponsor for tonight already?
Yes, we had 2 sponsors. We had Charlie in memory of his mother, Ruth Bat Zvi, and we also had Laser for his mother, Leah Bas Yisrael Shlomo.
So if I may also join, I'd like to do it for Ratza Zelda.
Got it. Shema should have an Aliyah. I'm not sure that this is how Ratza is spelled, but I put it in the chat with a quick approximation. So, thank you. And the Shema should, all of these neshamos should have an Aliyah from our learning, and all these mothers should get hanah from the fact that their sons are learning Gemara this evening. I think that's in and of itself something. So we were dealing with this issue of initial relations via Rishona on Shabbos, on Friday night. And what we had seen was that Rav and Shmuel were both quoted by either Rav's students or the people of Shmuel's town in Neherda as being lenient and allowing it. Allowing initial relations on Friday night. And we brought 3 challenges so far in this, and we're bringing now the 4th and final challenge. And this is a challenge to anyone who would prohibit having relations for the first time on Shabbos. And the challenge is issued by Rav Yosef, and his argument is that we have a Mishnah that seems to say that the initial relations on Friday night are permitted. So I'm going to share the screen with the Gemara. Again, we're 8 lines down on Vav Amud Beis, Masiv Rav Yosef. Okay, it showed up on your screen?
Yep.
Good. So Rav Yosef asks, I'm just scrolling a bit, we've learned it's Mishnah in Brachos. Chasan patur mikriya shema laila harishon ad motzai Shabbos im lo asa maisa. End of quote. A chasan, groom, is exempt from saying Shema on his wedding night and until Saturday night, assuming that he has not actually done anything, meaning that they have not yet succeeded in consummating the marriage. So what catches Rabbi Yosef's eye here, just like we saw last week from the Mishnah Nida, is that our Mishnah throws in something extraneous. The Mishnah could have easily said the chasan is exempt from Kriya Shema until they have relations for the first time. Or it could have said the chasan is exempt for a certain number of nights. But it didn't. It threw in Saturday night. It throws in something suggesting that there's a Hilchos Shabbos component. There's some kind of Shabbos-related law. And so Rabbi Yosef says, my love, Rabbi Yosef doesn't say, sorry, Rabbi Yosef assumes, he doesn't actually say it explicitly, that this would seem to include Friday night. From the fact that you say he's exempt from the first night through Motzai Shabbos, and you didn't say any nights are out of that calculation, that means that Friday night is considered to be, fair game. So initial relations could have happened Friday night. Otherwise, why would you be exempting him from Shema? Now, in terms of why one is exempt here, I want to point you to the Rambam, because the Rambam makes an important point, so I am just going to share with you from the source sheet, and those who have the source sheet in front of them, all the better, as opposed to relying on the shared screen, the Rambam's commentary to that Mishnah in Brachos. The Rambam writes, Ein ha'adam nifter mikriya shema elem haya libo tarud bidvar mitzvah. He says, you're only exempt from shema if your heart is distracted by a mitzvah pursuit, as opposed to if you're just generally distracted. A person can't say, well, I'm not in the mood to say shema tonight, I'm just too distracted. It doesn't work that way. You have to be distracted because of a mitzvah, and we're going to refine that a little bit later. Lefisha oseik b'mitzvah mitzvah, because one who is involved in a mitzvah is exempt from other mitzvot. But it's not the normal rule of oseik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. The normal rule of oseik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah says that if I am involved in one mitzvah, I am exempt from doing other mitzvot while I'm doing the first one. Right? Imagine the following scenario. This guy is, let's say it's a time of year when you could say Shema as early as 6 p.m. So he's not starting at 6 p.m. necessarily involved in trying to have relations with his wife. Nonetheless, he's exempt even earlier. If the rule that we were invoking was Ha'osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, then it would mean while he's actually engaged in this with his wife, that's when he's exempt from Shema. Not that he should be exempt starting at 6 o'clock. So what's going on here? He says, Ulafichach hanose bisula pater mikriya Shema kolzman shelo ba'aleha mipnei shelibo tarud shema lo yimtze ena bisula. So the Rambam explains what's going on here. The issue is that he is distracted not only when engaged in attempting this mitzvah, but he's distracted in general until the mitzvah happens, because he's worried that she might turn out to not be a besula. He married her with the understanding that she was a besula, and in the event, excuse me, in the event that it turns out that she's not a besula, that may mean that they lied to him initially. It may mean, even worse, that they told him the truth initially, and something happened after the Kiddushin. So therefore, he's very agitated, worried about that, and he can't focus on Shema. V'harayu gam osik b'mitzvah, klomar mitzvah's period of rivia. He's involved in pursuing a mitzvah, the mitzvah of procreation, and that mitzvah is distracting him, and therefore he's exempt from Shema. Are we clear on that?
Does that mean that this exemption does not apply for second marriages?
That would mean the exemption would seem not to apply for second marriages. I think the Gemara is going to get around to that eventually. But yes, that would seem, I mean, or her second marriage, not his second marriage. Where it's her second marriage. That would seem to be correct. So the exemption here is tirda de mitzvah. Distraction that is connected to a mitzvah. But what we're going to see is a machlokes between Abaye and Rava as to how far we go with that exemption. Meaning, you could take that very narrowly. There is stress while he is engaged in pursuing the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is causing him stress. Or you could take it broadly. There is stress about the mitzvah, which is the way the Rambam seems to explain this Mishnah. It's stress that's about the mitzvah, not directly involved in the specific pursuit of the mitzvah. So that's something we're going to come back to, is how broadly or how narrowly do you define stress which can exempt from a mitzvah? You follow? That's a question that we have to examine. But right now all we have is a Mishnah in Brachos that in the course of discussing exemption from saying Shema indicates you'd be exempt Friday night as well, indicating that first relations can happen on a Friday night. That's the idea. So let's go back to the Gemara. And we now get Rabbi Yosef framing this as a question. My love, isn't this detarid deboy lemivol, that he is distracted because he expects to have relations with her? Doesn't that show that he's able to have relations with her that night? So amalei Abaye lo. Abaye says, not necessarily. I'm just going to move this to clear up Rashi, to make it easier to read Rashi. Abaye says, lo, Ditarid de Lobal. Abaye takes a broad view of tirda de mitzvah, of the stress involved in the mitzvah. He says that, let's say, he's not having relations Friday night. We could argue that relations Friday night are prohibited, in fact. Then what's his tirda? He's upset about the fact that he hasn't done the mitzvah yet. If you see Rashi, detarid de lo baal, mitzta'er shelo baal. He's upset that he hasn't actually pursued the mitzvah now, and Abaye says that's good enough to exempt him from Shema. To which Rava says, how broad are you going to go? Amar le Rava. Rava says to Abaye, umishum tirda pater. Just general distraction and stress and being upset is enough to exempt you from a mitzvah. Elameyata, if that's true, then what about the following case? Tav asfinaso bayam. A guy has a boat full of merchandise on the sea, and the boat sinks. Hachanami depater, is he also exempt from Shema? Because he's also feeling anxious. He's also feeling stressed. Would you really make the argument that he's exempt from Shema because of general stress? Is that what you want to say? And lest Abaye come back and say, sure, Rava says it can't be. V'chi tema hachinami, if you're going to tell me that's really true, that people are exempt from Shema just because they're stressed in general, v'ha'ama Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, ama Rav, Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said, quoting Rav, avel chayav b'chol ha-mitzvos ha-amuros b'torah. An avel, a mourner during Shiva, is obligated in all of the Torah's mitzvos, chutz min ha-tfilin. Except for tefillin, shenemar bahen pe'er, because for tefillin they are described as being splendor or glory, and therefore an avel doesn't wear them. Now I want to talk about the avel, but I want to just frame the general point. What Rava is saying here is, if you are trying to tell me that you're exempt from Shema on Friday night, even though you can't engage in relations because there's stress about not having done the mitzvah, then you should also be exempt from Shema if you're feeling stress over something else. A guy whose boat sinks should be exempt from Shema. A person who's in Shiva, they're very disturbed and distraught. They're very stressed. They should be exempt from Shema also. And we know that an Aval is Chayav in Shema. So what I want to do here is just show you a chart that I put on the source sheet, which I think will help capture this, in terms of where Abaye and Rava are regarding stress and exemptions. So if you take a look at the table at the bottom of the sheet, Abaye and Rava regarding the stress exemption from mitzvos. So I gave you four levels of stress with examples and with Rava's position and Abaye's position. And Rava and Abaye agree on almost all cases. So the first level is you're in pursuit of a mitzvah which involves stress, like having relations for the first time, and it's not Shabbos. Shabbos is not part of the conversation. So Rava and Abaye both agree. He's exempt from Shema. That's the Mishnah. Jumping over the second category, the third category. If there is a mitzvah which is in and of itself stressful, that's Avelus. Avelus inherently involves grief. They're supposed to be experiencing that stress. And yet we say, you're obligated in Shema. And general stress, like the financial stress about the ship that capsized, also, Abaye and Rava agree, person is obligated. The machlokus between Abaye and Rava is specifically in the case where you're prevented from performing a mitzvah that involves stress, and so there is this layer of extra stress that comes with the fact that you're not able to perform the mitzvah. So the position of Rava is you're obligated in Shema, and the position of Abaye is that no, you're not. So when the Mishnah says that Friday night you're exempt from Shema, Abaye says that's because you can't perform this mitzvah which involves stress. Rava says no, it must be that relations are permitted, and the reason why you're exempt is because you're in pursuit of a mitzvah which involves stress. I heard somebody unmute with a question.
Are we talking about, not talking about an onen, we're talking about an avel, right?
Correct. We are only talking avel. An onen is exempt from Shema altogether.
Right. So it's talking about after the burial, but during Shiva.
Correct. And that affords me the opportunity to revisit that line about the Avel and Tefillin and all of that, because it's worth taking a moment, I think, to unpack that that point. They said that an Avel is exempt from Tefillin because Tefillin are called Pe'er. So this actually is a little bit difficult to understand. And I'm going to go back to the source sheet and show you why this is difficult to understand. Source Beis is a nevuah of Yechezkel. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemor. Hashem said to me, Yechezkel, Ben Adam, hineni lokeach mimcha es machmad einecha. Hashem says to Yechezkel, I'm going to take from you the beloved of your eyes, meaning Yechezkel's wife is going to pass away. B'magefa, in a plague. V'lo sispod, v'lo sivke, v'lo savo dimasecha. You shall not eulogize her, you shall not cry, nothing. Hey aneik dom. He says, be silent. Here, I'm going to expand the view a little bit because I think it's maybe a little hard to see. The font's a little small. Another reason for people to download the source sheet. There we go. So he says, hey, aneik dom, he should be silent. Okay, aneik dom meisim, I should say, like the dead. Avalosa ase pe'er, hey, aneik dom meisim evelosa ase. He says, don't practice avelus to Yechezkel. Pe'ercha chavosh alecha. You should wear your pe'er, your splendor. So what the Gemara is saying is wear your splendor is a reference to Tefillin. So Yechezkel is told that even though his wife has passed away, he should wear Tefillin. Clear? That's where the Gemara gets the idea. That's where the Gemara gets the idea that Tefillin are called Pe'er, that they're called splendor. However, the Gemara says, we don't do what Yechezkel did. Yechezkel was told in his situation as a message to the Jews about their fate and their relationship with Hashem that he should continue to wear tefillin. He should not mourn publicly. But normally a mourner does not wear tefillin. That's what you get out of this pasuk. Are we clear on that? Is that clear?
You're talking about the first day, right? Yeah.
So I didn't get there yet. Right now, all we know is Hashem says to Yechezkel, he should wear tefillin, which are called pe'er, they're called splendor. But normally, avelim do not wear tefillin, because they are called splendor. That's the basic idea. So if Simi asks a question, is this day one? And the answer is, it may be day one. It actually becomes a lot more complicated than this. It depends on the calendar of when the person passed away, and when the burial takes place. Is the death on the same day as the burial, or did time elapse between the death and the burial? And that will affect this psak. It's never after the first day. In other words, everybody agrees that after day one of Avelus, the Avel is wearing tefillin. However, it's less clear in terms of the day of the burial. If that's not the day of the death, does the Avel put on tefillin after the Levaya? So there's a whole discussion about this. I'm not going into it right now. It's a large and complicated issue. But what's particularly strange about this is the following. The beginning of the pasuk had, Hey aneik dom, Hashem says to Yechezkel that he should be silent. And we learn from that pasuk, from Hey aneik dom, from Hashem telling him to be silent, that he's not supposed to learn Torah. And we say that just like Yechezkel is told, don't learn Torah when he's an Avel, so too today an Avel should not learn Torah. So you see the problem, right? We're being told, I'm going to stop sharing screen so I can see everybody's confused faces. On the one hand, we're told that Yechezkel is supposed to wear tefillin. Avelim in general do not wear tefillin. Don't be like Yechezkel. On the other hand, we are told that Yechezkel is not supposed to learn Torah, and general Avelim are also not supposed to learn Torah. So we emulate Yechezkel on one thing, and we don't emulate Yechezkel on the other. So Tosfos asks, what that's about. Why is that? And Tosfos chooses to discuss this here in Ksuvos and on our Gemaras. Going back to our page, Tosfos points it out. V'im Tomar, it's the middle of Tosfos Chutz. V'im Tomar, you might ask, why is it that for tefillin we say that Hashem is only telling Yechezkel to wear tefillin, but Avelim normally do not? V'gabei Talmud Torah, whereas when it comes to learning Torah, Yalfinan Sha'ar Avelim Yechezkel, we learn the law of general Avelus from Yechezkel. Damrinan Avel Asur B'Talmud Torah, we say a mourner is not supposed to learn Torah. Mida Amar Lei Rachman Li Yechezkel Heanik Dom, because Hashem said to Yechezkel to be silent. V'yesh Lomar Deles or Gamrinan. He says the answer is, when Hashem prohibits something for Yechezkel, it's for sure going to be usher for everybody else as well. Hashem says, don't learn Torah, then it's usher for everybody. But when Hashem permits something for Yechezkel, saying you do wear tefillin, lo gamrinan, that we do not learn for others, because it's only permitted for Yechezkel and not for other people. So what we end up saying is that we learn from Yechezkel, number one, that an Avel doesn't learn Torah. Number two, we learn from Yechezkel that tefillin is called splendor. But we break with Yechezkel in that Yechezkel is told to wear them when he is an Avel. Whereas, as a general rule, an Avel does not wear tefillin on the first day of Shiva. Clear? That's the upshot. Yes, Chuck.
Can I go back to your chart?
Yes.
Ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why is Onay not on your chart? Why did Onay not get included in questions of Gemara when Onay itself, I think, means stress? So what is the... If there's anything that compares to exemption of saying the Shema, it should be that of an Onay, who is so anxious about the burial that he's relieved from the obligations of doing those mitzvot.
Good. So Chuck asks an important question. What about the Onay isn't his exemption from stress? But this is actually what I was trying to show with that Rambam. The Onay's exemption is not stress-based. Etymology of the word onain aside, because I think the etymology is actually a good question, where does the word onain come from? But the exemption of the onain is because the onain is a true osek b'mitzvah pater mena mitzvah. The onain has a responsibility to devote all energies to making sure the burial happens. That's why the onain is exempt. It's not about stress, but rather we want the onain to be available for taking care of the burial, which is why there are halachic questions about the status of an onain where the onain is not, such as where the body goes to Eretz Yisrael for burial and the onain is not going with. So that raises questions. Actually, some very interesting modern permutations of that question that have come up in COVID. So, you know, we often say that if somebody is, if a body is going to Israel for a burial, and the head of the household is going with the those who remain behind start Shiva once they've turned away, once the body goes. But what if, thanks to Zoom, they're going to be able to watch the Levaya and even potentially speak and offer a eulogy? So does that now mean that they are no longer considered to have been left behind and therefore their Shiva doesn't yet begin? I've seen the question asked. I don't think we have some, you know, consistent down-the-line answers that everybody agrees to yet. But going back to your point, the Onain's exemption is because the Onain is actively involved in doing a mitzvah, not because of stress. That's the response.
Okay.
So what we have here then is, again, a challenge from Rav Yosef. If you believe, if anybody believes, that relations are prohibited Friday night, why is the chasan exempt from Shema Friday night? And the answer is either to take the view of Abaye, he's not allowed to have relations Friday night. However, the stress of not being able to engage in this mitzvah is enough to exempt? Or, Rava's view, this is indeed correct. Rava sides with Rabbi Yosef that this proves that a chassan is able to have relations Friday night. But Rava then needs to address the overall issue. Rava says, I believe that this supports the view that a chassan is allowed to have relations for the first time Friday night. But he says, I know there are Tanoim who disagree. And so Rava says, you know what? I think this is actually a machlokes Tanoim. It's a debate among the Tanoim, this question of whether the whether relations are allowed, whether first relations are allowed on Friday night. And I'm just finding it here. Ella Amar Rava. Okay, you see where we are on the screen here. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Tanoihi. He says the issue of having relations for the first time Friday night is a machlokes Tanoim. Not only a debate Rav and Shmuel, but before them. De Tanachada, I have a brisa which says, Imlo asa maise barishon pater af basheni, basheni pater af bashlishi. I have a brisa that says that in the event nothing happened the first night, then he's exempt from Shema the second night. And if nothing happened the second night, he's exempt from Shema the third night. The third night, of course, being Shabbos, because they got married Wednesday night. V'tanya idach. And then I have another brisa that says no. Rishon v'sheni pater, shlishi chayav. I have another brisa that says that on the third night, they're actually going to be, he'll be obligated in Shema, because they're not having relations. That's the way Rava reads these two brisa. So he says, it's a machlokes. It's not a debate about what exempts you from Shema. It's a debate about whether they're allowed to have relations on Friday night. To which Abaye says, nonsense. V'Abaye, what will Abaye say back to you about these two brisos? Hasamnami betir dapligi. He says, the debate is fundamentally about stress. One brisa is saying the chassan is exempt because of the stress of not being able to do the mitzvah, and the other one says, no, that stress is not enough to exempt you from Shema. So Abaye and Rava are going to be consistent. Abaye is going to tell you repeatedly that anytime you see a source that says the chassan is exempt from Shema Friday night, it's because of the stress of not being able to do the mitzvah. And when you see them say you're obligated in Shema Friday night, it's because stress is insufficient to exempt you. But he says no one's having first relations Friday night. And Rava says it's not true. If you have a source that says he's exempt from Shema Friday night, it's because that takes the view that they are having relations Friday night. That's the way Rava takes it. That's the way Abaye takes it. Are we clear?
Rabbi Terchiner.
Yes.
If Abaye is going to hold stress as the issue, does that exempt him from Kriyat Shema daytime?
So that's a very interesting question. Right? You follow Harry's question. He says, well, what about during the day? If you take Abaye's view, logically, one should be exempt during the day. Because Abaye says you're exempt Friday night, even though you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. So ostensibly, yes, I think you're right. I think Harry is correct that Abaye would say you're exempt during the day as well. And Rava would say nonsense. It's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about it, but I think you're right.
How about you, Chino?
Yeah.
Let me just go back to when you were talking about the Onan not putting on tefillin.
Yeah.
And you seem to imply that it's like the same day, so it's which implies that the Nifter died after sunset.
So
that's the day, and the Levayah is later on that day.
So the Onan never puts on tefillin. The Onan, meaning until the burial?
Until the burial is not tefillin. That's what I thought.
Yes. The only question is...
It was the Avol after the burial.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you said something about the one day, and I'm thinking...
No, yeah, no, I don't want to confuse things. Day. I don't want to confuse things. If I can avoid it, that I'd like to.
I'm easy to confuse. Okay.
You're in good company, Alden. So, yes, Laser.
Coming back to Harry's question for a minute. Is the mitzvah there during the day?
So, the mitzvah is definitely still in existence during the day. Pur Ravu is still a mitzvah, even if right now is not the time that people normally fulfill it. First of all, because the mitzvah is incumbent upon him at all times. And second, because we have heterim for him to do things during the day, if he's a Tamar Chacham and there's no light in the house, and like there are ways that that can happen. It is interesting that our Gemara frames it in terms of nighttime and doesn't raise the daytime question. That's the only reason I hesitate regarding Harry's question. Why didn't you mention daytime Shema? It's the perfect distinction between the views of Abaye and Rava. I'd have to look. I don't know. I think his point's a good one. But I believe that, yeah, the according to Abaye, it sounds like he should be exempt because the stress is still there. Well, the Gemara now continues within Rava's view. Okay? Rava's view, again, is that it's a machlokes tanoim. So, if you take a look back in the Gemara, Vahani Tanoi, we're now about 15 lines up from the bottom. Vahani Tanoi, and this Machlokes Tanoim that we just identified, Kihani Tanoi is just like the following Machlokes Tanoim. I can show you another set of Tanoim who have the same debate. Disanya, here's the Brisa. Hakones es habesula lo yivol betchila b'shabes. Brisa says, if you marry a besula, you shall not have initial relations on Shabbos. Vachachamim matirin, and the chachamim permit. So this is easy to fit. Man chachamim, who is the view of the chachamim who permit this? Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shimon he. So Rabba says, the chachamim will be Rabbi Shimon. Da'amar davar she'ein miskavein mutter. If you remember the flowchart that we had, the view that said that unintended malacha is okay. So that's the view of Rabbi Shimon, and that's the view of the Chachamim who permit. Amar le Abaye, to which Abaye says, not so fast. And this goes back to answer a question that we've been waiting on for a few weeks. V'hamode Rabbi Shimon b'psek reishe v'lo yamus. Doesn't Rabbi Shimon agree that in the event that the malacha is a guaranteed result of your actions, then your intent does not matter? Davar she'eino miskaveh doesn't help you if you're guaranteed the malacha is going to happen. So I don't understand. Why would Rabbi Shimon be able to help you? Abaye says. So Amar Lei, to which the response comes, Lo kahalalu bavliim she'ein b'kiin bahataya, elayesh b'kiin bahataya. The remarkable answer. The answer is that breaking the hymen is not a guaranteed activity or guaranteed result of initial relations. These Babylonians don't know what they're doing. However, and this is standard trash talk between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, you see it throughout Shas, he says, Babylonians don't know what they're doing. However, there are people who are able to have relations without breaking the hymen, and therefore, they need not be concerned. Parenthetically, I gave you on the source sheet, in footnote 6, a link to an article from the Journal of Reproductive Health. It is certainly entirely possible from a biological perspective for initial relations not to break the hymen. They go through all sorts of explanations that I felt, you know, this is a PG shear, so I'm not going to explain the ins and outs of that. But you can look on the source sheet and find the article for yourself. But the point is, it's not a psik reishe. It's not a guaranteed result. And therefore, this is permitted as davar she'eino miskaveh. Clear? Everyone follows? Everyone shouldn't follow. Now there's a major question to ask. He just told me, right? Rava just told me that it's possible to have relations and not break the hymen at all, right? Rambam told me that there's all this stress. I'm worried. What if I have relations and there's no blood? What if I have relations and nothing breaks? And now I'm going to find out that she's not a besula. But he can have relations without breaking it altogether. right? What is this all, what, why is he stressed? What's he worried about? That doesn't prove anything. So, that's the Gemara's question. Im kein torad lama. So what is he stressed about? By the way, Ramban and the Rashba have a different edition in their Gemara, but I'm not pursuing the other edition. But what is he stressed about? Worried about finding her Bsula, not finding her Bsula? So the Gemara answers, L'sha'eno baki. We're still worried because there are people who are not experts. And we're worried about them, and for them, there's stress. To which the Gemara then says, okay, fine. But let's go back to this issue of having relations on Shabbos. Rava, you believe that we permit having relations on Shabbos, right? Well, maybe what we should say is, Yomru Baki Mutter, She'eno Baki Aser. We should say that those who are expert in avoiding causing bleeding should be allowed to have relations Friday night. And those who are not experts should not be allowed to have relations Friday night. Right? Why don't we just say, if you can avoid bleeding, then you get to have relations Friday night. And if you can't, then not. So the Gemara answers, Rove Bikian Hain. Most are Baki. Most of them know what they're doing. What the Ritva explains here is that that since the majority are experts, we're not going to prohibit even for the minority. Everybody is going to be permitted. Why wouldn't I prohibit for the minority? Why don't I worry about it for the minority? You're telling me I'm permitted Friday night because it's not a guaranteed result. But for some people it is. So Rashi here says, Rove Bikian Hain, it's the second wide line in Rashi, Hilkach Stam Alav Psik Reshe Velo Yamosu, it's not called a Psik Reshe anymore. It's not a guaranteed result because it is possible to avoid bleeding. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos offers a different explanation. Tosfos' explanation is, we assume that each person is in the majority. If you see the Tosfos, Rov Bikianhein, V'chol Chad V'chad Misabkinon Le'Barov. Each person, we think, yeah, that could be in the Rov. V'chula Mutarim, and everybody is permitted. So the upshot of this, and what we've accomplished so far, is that that Abaye believes that relations may not be permitted Friday night. That relations, in fact, may be prohibited Friday night. And don't bring me proofs from Shema, because the stress of the mitzvah is still significant enough that you're exempt from Shema. Rava argues that it's a machlokes tanoim. And those who permit say any bleeding that happens is davershenu miskavein, and it's not a guaranteed result because it's possible to have relations without causing bleeding. And we're going to permit not just for those who know how to do this, but we're going to permit for everybody because fundamentally the bleeding is not a guaranteed result. That's where the Gemara brings us. So we still have, yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, in the Gemara, we usually refer to as a Baki or Bakim as somebody who has done a certain act very many times and so he becomes an expert. But here we're probably, I imagine, talking about a Chassan who is never, it's his first marriage, he has never actually had relations himself. So how can he be a Baki?
Yeah, so this is discussed in the Rishonim. They do talk about this, and that's part of what leads, if I remember correctly, Ramban and Ritva to have an alternate edition in the Gemara altogether. They discuss it and end up saying, yeah, it's true. Nonetheless, people are able to do this even in their first act of relations. Even though you're right, that's not normally the way we use the word Baki. You are correct. There also seems to be some distinction in terms of the way that they talk about what's involved in avoiding breaking the hymen, where the Gemara's language of Hataya suggests that it means sort of going around the hymen, but some of the Rishonim talk about it as stopping short of the hymen. Unclear why there is that distinction in their language. The whole thing is a little bit odd. But what we have to get to, and Ramban and Ritva ask this earlier in the Gemara, is if that's really true, that it's possible to avoid causing bleeding, then why is anyone bothering to look for blood as a sign that she's a Basula? Right? What are you bothering for? If you don't find blood, the answer is because he did this without causing bleeding. Why what's the whole conversation about? So that's going to be the next piece in the Gemara.
Ask on the Psik Resha? I've never heard of the Psik Resha kind of being defined based on a Rov. What if you only have a Miut? Can we not still call that, it's not a Psik Resha because there's a Miut that's not inevitable. Why all of a sudden are we saying, well, no, it's going to be a Psik Resha unless the Rov is not inevitable.
So I don't think that's quite the way they're doing it. I think what they're saying is it's not a psik reshe for each individual because it can be done without causing bleeding. And the reason why we permit, according to Rava, the reason why we permit relations in general for everybody is because most people are actually able to do this. It's considered to be a normal enough thing that we're not concerned. It's really only a psik reshe for the person for whom it's not a guaranteed result. And since it's not a guaranteed result for most people, we're gonna paskin as though it's not a guaranteed result for anybody. That's the way that they're looking at it. Alan.
I have a recollection, and I don't know if it's from further on in the Gemara Brachos, or maybe it was like the Rav Mebartanura, where somebody said after this Gemara that this doesn't apply today, that the reason it applied was people wouldn't have enough kavana because of what they were going to do to be able to say Kriya Shema. But today it's okay because none of us have that much kavana to start with.
Right.
But if that's the case, that seems to be a different line of direction than you're going.
Right. Well, I'm talking about the issue of relations on Shabbos. You're talking about exemption from Shema. Right, you're talking about exemption from Shema.
Yeah, but it seems to me the reason you didn't say Shema, you're saying because you don't say Shema on Erev Shabbos, then means you can have relations. So I understand the context in which you're doing it, but am I correct my recollection that it was a Kavana issue? Why we didn't say Shema?
So it's not so much a Kavana issue as it is a stress issue exempting from Shema. In other words, it's not lack of kavana. In other words, let me put it differently. We have on the books a heter not to, let's say, daven shmona esrei, because a person can't have proper kavana right now. They were traveling for 3 days and they're exhausted and they can't have proper kavana, and therefore they're going to be exempt from shmona esrei. That's separate from what we're talking about here, where we're saying, you don't even need to try to have kavana. You're exempt from the mitzvah altogether. Even if you felt you could get together the kavana, you don't have any obligation to do so because you're involved in tirda de mitzvah. It's really two separate things. But the point that you're raising does come up because the Mishnah in Brachos has one of the Tanaim, I think it was Rabban Gamliel, saying Shema anyway. And there's a whole discussion, is that considered self-righteous for a person to say that I can do that, and lo kol arotze litol es Hashem yitol, not everybody who wants to claim that they can do this, should really do so, because there's an element of arrogance and self-righteousness, like I am greater, therefore I should do this. But as a matter of, as a matter of psak, in terms of the Shulchan Aruch on this issue of the exemption from Shema, I will tell you, because I am working with the Bar Ilan, so I have it open right here, and I'll share it on the screen. If you can see here, what I have open from Shulchan Aruch, I'm just making the font a little bit larger. Hakones es habesula pater mikriya shema gimel yamim im lo asa maisim ipneshu taru de tir das mitzvah. And then, vahane mili bisman harishonim. That's back in the day. Aval achshav shigam sha'ar b'nei adam eina mechavnim karo'ui. But now nobody has proper kavana anyway. Gam hakones es habesula kore. So even if he marries the besula, he should still read. So what you're remembering is paskind in the Shulchan Aruch. You follow, Alan? I can't see you without, well, I'm sharing the screen. There we go. So what you're remembering is indeed paskind in the Shulchan Aruch, that your lack of kavana is shared with everybody else anyway. And presumably then the stress which is blocking kavana is not considered to be sufficient anymore as an exemption. That's what you're seeing there, with a lot of different commentators on that to note and to discuss. But yes. Okay, so thank you very much. And again, as I said in the beginning and I said in my email, no shiur next week. Please join the Purim Learnathon from 8 to 10 next Sunday night. I will send out that flyer, God willing, on Thursday. And then we resume in 2 weeks, I hope.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Be well.